Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Darwin missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
Yeah, he's back.
Back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
I couldn't tell how that sounded.
Chris McMichael.
I seemed a bit off.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 103 on this Monday morning. Let's go. Let's get the week started. 888-808-1019. We got Rami on the other side. We're taking your phone calls all the way to 5 a.m. 4 hours on this Monday morning right here on The Fan. We'll start with the baseball. You heard the update. We'll get to Neighbors and the Giants. I have some thoughts on the quarterbacks as we watch some of the young quarterbacks play preseason games this year. But let's start with the lousy Mets and the scary Yankees. And the Mets, obviously, dropped 3 in Seattle and this road trip in disastrous form and get outplayed in every way. Let's just start there. Seattle did everything better than the New York Mets. They were excellent defensively, clearly one of the best. I'm as a Yankee fan, you know, I'm constantly saying, well, who has a better rotation than the Yankees? Well, the one team for sure is the Seattle Mariners. We understand the Mariners can pitch, and we know that they've had trouble hitting, although they've added a Rosarena and some bats at the trade deadline, and they outscored the New York Mets for 3 straight games, 22-1. And here's the bottom line with the New York Mets. We can get into Severino. We can get into the bullpen late in this game on Sunday. Here's the bottom line. I've been saying this for forever. This team was supposed to be, at the start of the year, carried by its offense. It wasn't for the first 2 months, and since they've gotten hot, since they took off, since the meeting, since the throwing of the glove by Lopez, since Lindor hitting leadoff, since the walk-off home run against Miami from J.D. Martinez, this team has been led by its offense. And quite plainly, if they do not score they do not win. And I understand that means, you know, any team, you score one run over the course of three games, you're not going to win. But this year, this Met offense has got to be the reason they win games. That's it. And you heard Vientos obviously scratched with an ankle before the game. Pete Alonso following up two home runs against Colorado does nothing. Nimmo is ice cold for the last month, has been brutally bad. J.D. Martinez has done nothing. Lindor is the only one who did anything in this series. I believe he had five hits in the series. Back to the runners in scoring position, which has been their issue this entire stretch since the All-Star break. 0 for 16 with runners in scoring position and a solo home run from Jeff McNeil is the only runs this team put up all weekend long. And we talked about how important this stretch was, how important this road trip was, how important this month is. And to finish off the homestand and to have a homestand, road trip, as they're about to embark, come back on Tuesday to start a homestand against the Oakland A's and the Miami Marlins, who they better turn this thing around against, even though they've been lucky with how the Atlanta Braves have played. I mean, we'll get into them in a second. But this Met team and this team is carried specifically by its offense. As good as the starting pitching has been at times and not so much in the series. And, you know, obviously, Quintana was okay in game one. Not terrible. These games were all close. And then it fell apart for the Mets in all three of these games. And then, other than, you know, maybe Manaea in game one, 3-0, but relatively close. Until it feels like as the offense does nothing and the game starts to get away. But as good as the starting pitching has been all year, as much as a surprise as it's been, as the role Manaea was before only going three innings and giving him three runs in this game, as much as Severino's been a godsend, and now we're talking about innings limits and where he is right now and the struggles he's had his last three starts now, as good as it's been overall, as much as there's been a surprise, as much as you thought it would be the downfall of this team, waiting for Senga's return, it lasts all of one game, yet the starting rotation has been fairly good. They're not good enough to overcome subpar to even average offense. This bullpen, right? At times, the beginning of the year was one of the units that carried the team, one of the units that helped keep the team somewhat in contention and somewhat playing decent baseball. Right now, whether it's, you know, Stanek, who they added at the trade deadline, who's terrible in this game, Ottavino, who thinks it would be foolish to get rid of him, I'm not so sure after his last couple of performances here. This bullpen is not good enough. This offense has got to be what it was when it was dominating good starting pitching. And like I said, yes, Seattle can throw good pitches at you, right? We get it. Logan Gilbert. They've got a good rotation. Castillo in this game, they've got some pitching. I get it. But what were the Mets doing as they were winning and getting back into this playoff race? What were the Mets doing? They were pounding everyone. They were pounding good starting pitching in particular. Dylan Cease, Gerrit Cole, Luis Gil. I'll give you the two Yankees there real briefly. John Gray with the Rangers, Imanaga, everybody. They went through good starting pitching like hot knives through butter and absolutely dominated. And the top of, I mean, and through the lineup, it was a absolute just barrage of good hitter after good hitter. And now you're seeing guys like Vientos cool off before, you know, the ankle injury, and we'll see what it is, more imaging to come. But J.D. Martinez completely cooled off. Nimmo has gone into a complete shell. Right? Even some of the guys like Bader and Iglesias and Taylor have cooled off a little bit. And this offense just gave you one of the most inept 3 days we have seen in a long time. I mean, absolutely nothing. And I know they played some good defense. And there's multiple times where games can change. And obviously, Arozarena making that diving catch with that would have scored a run for the Mets and maybe changed things up. But ultimately, and we're going to get into Severino right here next, as much as it's a disappointment and a fear about Severino, and as much as you knew or expected Manaea not to continue to be a dominant force as he was in his two previous starts, And as much as you don't really know about the back end of this rotation and the bullpen, there's a, you know, a lot of guys you're not that confident in. You got guys returning, Reed Garrett return. You're going to get Reed Foley. You're going to get some guys returning to this bullpen. Hopefully Nunez at some point. This team is built on mashing. This team is built on having top to bottom one of the deepest lineups in the sport. Most guys with above 700 OPS. That's what they're built on. And this isn't, I know they're good, Seattle, but they're not a dominant force. This rotation hasn't been shut down everybody. I mean, they're battling for a division title right now along with the Houston Astros, but they have certainly not been any sort of, you know, unbelievable pitching staff. They're solid. They're good. And for the Mets to continue this feast or famine and go famine for a full week, again, a full weekend, excuse me, against Seattle is a disappointing way to end this thing, but it's as clear as day, as much as they're still in it, right? And that's a big part of this, as the Braves have now lost 7 of 8, including having a 6-run lead evaporate in the 8th inning yesterday. Losing 2 of 3 to Colorado, getting swept by Milwaukee, giving up a ton of runs, playing terribly. And they still find themselves a half game behind Atlanta by the grace of God. But the fact of the matter is, it's never more clear. There's one way, right? The Mets did not go out at the trade deadline and get impact relievers. The Mets did not go to the trade deadline and get another starter for this team. The Mets are built to win one way, outslug you. Plain and simple, that's how they've done it this whole year. When they win, they are outslugging you. And if they're not going to score runs, and if they are going to be inept as much as any team in baseball since the All-Star break at coming through with runners in scoring position, they aren't going to win. And despite having a losing road trip, despite being swept at the end of it, you look at the Atlanta Braves and how they've played, and you look at where they are, as much as now they are 4.5 back of the two teams who don't lose in Arizona and San Diego, the Mets will come home to play two lousy baseball teams in Oakland and Miami. Now, Oakland isn't as bad as Chicago, and Oakland's had, I guess, somewhat of a surprising year. And Miami, you know the fits this Miami team has given the Mets dating back more than a decade now. But the Mets have got to go out and play better baseball, and plain and simple, they need to score runs. They need to hit home runs. You knew eventually, and this is why I talked about being aggressive at the deadline, because, yeah, they were winning games, and, yeah, they were as good as anybody, and I believed all that at the time, and I still do. But you knew Nimmo wasn't going to drive in 100 runs this year. You knew Nimmo wasn't going to have the kind of year he was having for the month and a half he was hot. Lindor still, you know, performing fairly well, but he wasn't going to be the MVP of the league forever. Pete Alonso was still waiting to show up. 2 home runs against, you know, he's waiting to turn it on, right? He made the comments. We all got on him. Fine. Hits 2 home runs against Colorado. You know, I'm in here with Lugi while as the game was going on, talking about more home runs than anybody since 2019. Contract weighing over him. He goes and does nothing in Seattle.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
JD Martinez has how long has it been since he's done anything? They can't win any other way. This is who they are. They are an outscore you team. And I know the bullpen lets one get away. And I understand Severino's been... And Severino gave you a bad start. Manaea gives up 3 early on. They play good defense. There's a lot of reasons why you lose. But an overall feel of this Met team is they're not good enough to win without big-time offensive performances. That's it. And Pete Alonso is killing them. JD Martinez is killing them. Nimmo, who's well aware of it, is killing them. And right behind all that, yes, is the bullpen, and yes, is Severino. And let's get to Severino for a second, who I thought had had one of those games again, right? I understand that it's not just about velocity, and now he's hitting inning limits that he's been nowhere near since 2018. It's a major concern for this team, no doubt about it. They need him desperately. If you look at this game early on, I thought he had good stuff. I know the Shadows were playing games a little bit, but he does have 8 strikeouts in this game. But the problem was, I mean, he's not giving up cheapy home runs. And I understand Lindor, who's been great for this team. It's impossible to get on him. He's been great defensively, too. Has an opportunity to make a play on a ball coming in. Isn't able to get the feel for it and throw out a Rosarena. And that leads to a run and then leads to a 2-run home run from Kyle Raleigh. And watching him pitch, he's just not locating for me. That home run to Raleigh, that's a terrible first pitch against the big dumper, apparently. And, you know, a guy who's their best power hitter. You can't follow that up and try and get, you know, I know he got some swings and misses on his sinker. I know he got some swing and misses on his sweeper. And he looked relatively pretty good. But 5 innings, 4 runs, and having Polanco hit you 400 feet, and then having Cal Raleigh just dominate you on a fastball that you can't throw there in that spot. I mean, his location hasn't been the same, and now you're getting to a point where it's multiple starts here, and it's really starting to get concerning. And I don't know if there's anything you can do. I'm not a big proponent of moving him to the bullpen. I'm not sure what you could do other than throw him out there every fifth day. But it's just another problem here this team has as you move forward. And ultimately, like, I don't know what to expect from him, and I don't know what to expect from Anaya. And I don't really, you know, I don't really trust this rotation, and I certainly don't trust the bullpen. The one thing you have to trust is this offense, and when they go ice cold, I understand that you're not going to win scoring 1 run. It's easy to say this. It's not, you know, but it's just, it's a fact. This team now, since the All-Star break, is as bad as anyone in baseball with runners in scoring position. And if that doesn't change the rest of this month, where, I mean, it's almost at the point where you're not even concerned anymore about the 2 series against San Diego and Arizona at the end of the month. Like, they're almost gone. It's amazing how things have changed in the last 2 weeks. But as you watch the Braves just absolutely just fade, again, 7 of 8, they've lost here. And they blew a game that they had no business losing yesterday. But the Mets are still in this thing, and the Mets need the offense to wake up, plain and simple. And again, I know I've been calling for it. I don't want to keep harping on Pete Alonso, but the time is now, Pete, because here's the truth of the matter. Much like any Yankee of all time, at least during my lifetime since the 90s, it's a gift and a curse. And this is how Pete Alonso has to look at it. Right, this contract thing hanging over him, I think it's finally clear what he's been dealing with and how it's been hanging over him and weighing on him with those comments, right? Here's the gift and the curse of this season, playing in New York, playing under the guise of that contract weighing over him. The curse is you had to have a good season, you didn't. But here's the gift of playing in New York in high-pressure situations and possibly making the playoffs, especially if you carry the team there. Your value changes. And Pete Alonso's put enough equity in his career where if he just leaves it here and picks it up from this moment on and helps the Mets get into the postseason and does damage there, he doesn't have to defend himself like he did the other day. He doesn't have to try and explain away a miserable season. Start right now. That's the gift of this all. You have an opportunity to help this team push through and catch an Atlanta Braves team in free fall. Everybody else on this freaking roster, you can point to and say they have helped carry us at some point or another. From the MVPs of the team like Lindor and Nimmo to the role players called up midseason like Vientos and Iglesias. I can point to all of them and say, they helped me in this spot. They helped me carry for 2 days. Their impact was felt here, there, and there. And Alonso has yet to, I'm yet to able to be, say, I'm yet
able to say anything like that for Pete Alonso. But if it happens now, then all else is forgotten. And Joe Torre used to say this to all the Yankees who had, don't look up at your batting average. Don't worry about 40 home runs. I'm here almost around 40 home runs. Don't care about 40 home runs. Don't care about being an all-star. Care about being the most impactful Met from August 12th through the end of the year. Because they desperately need him, because I don't know when Nimmo's going to find it. And I don't know when an aging J.D. Martinez is going to find it. And I can't expect Iglesias to be what he was, or Taylor to be what he was, or Bader, who's been a subpar offensive player his entire career, has been hitting 270 and 280 and coming through with every single clutch hit possible that he's been presented with as a Met. I don't know how long those lasts. What I do know is Pete Alonso has been their best position player, and up until this year, we've been talking about how he could be the best position player in the history of the franchise if he plays his cards right. And so far this year, it's been snake eyes. I know that's a dice thing. I'm using cards. Whatever. It's all at a casino. But the time is now for Pete Alonso to come through and carry this freaking team. Someone needs to provide a spark. And you thought you got it from him last series against Colorado when he hits the two home runs and right back into the crapper in this series against Seattle. And ultimately, these are three ugly games. They're three disappointing games. They're three atrocious games. They're three, it looked like Seattle's the far better team. You don't belong on the field. All the stuff I've heard said from all the fans on Twitter and everywhere else. I get it. No one will care if they go pound the teams they're supposed to beat in Oakland and Miami. This will be a footnote. Thankfully, the Braves have been just as bad, if not worse, and you are still a half a game behind the third wild card. And yes, it's a missed opportunity. Oh, the Braves have been terrible, 7 of 8, and yet still couldn't gain a game. Couldn't, they should be in a playoff spot. They just got swept. All true, but there's two sides to that coin, and the other side is it's kept you in it. And so as the Mets return home for a game on Tuesday, it is imperative that this offense gets going, because it doesn't matter if Severino is spent and at an innings limit where he can't recover. It almost doesn't matter if this bullpen is crap at the back end and can't, keep a six-run deficit. It doesn't matter about any of that if they're not going to score runs, because that is how they are built to win. And that's what was on display these three games. They don't have it in them to do it any other way. 888-808-1019. So we'll open with your Met calls. I'm going to get to the Yankees here in this first hour as well. We'll do a little bit. I went a little longer with the Yankees. I'm not going to have a 40-minute open here. We'll get to the Mets. I was going to get to the Yankees, but the Mets bothered me. And we'll get to Clay Holmes and the back end of the Yankees bullpen, which has been atrocious as well the last couple of days, as they managed to win this last series against Texas, taking 2 out of 3 with a 8-7 win against the Rangers, holding on for dear life. Clay Holmes with what I would tell you was a gutty performance. That's right. I tweeted it. I said it. You want to challenge me on it? Give me a call. That was a gutty performance from the Yankee closer. We'll get into it. And, of course, what's gone on with the middle of the lineup and how much it changes who they are. So we'll get to the Yankees in a little bit. We'll start with the Mets and a disappointing lost weekend in Seattle and how the offense needs to wake up. We'll get to some football points as well as we take you the next 3.5 hours all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. All right, it's Monday. Let's get this thing going. Let's get this week started right here on The Fan. We'll be right back.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.